Let us bring to God our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christ's revelation to the world, for all that he achieved and all that he has taught us of your nature. In Christ we see unwavering devotion to your glory, Father, and in him we see your own eternal love, prepared to give itself upon the cross. From Jesus we draw our fundamental confidence and all our hope for this world and the next. We thank you for all the reflections of Christ's love within the world, the men and women who are moved to work for other people's good, and all who are prepared to brave hostility and ridicule for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. We thank you for the great variety of human personalities and gifts, for the skills of scientists and doctors and engineers, and the sensitivity of artists and writers and musicians. And we bless you for the great uniting bond of being one family under Christ. His life and death and saving work were gifts to us all, the faithful and the sceptical. For his gifts to the world of gospel, the church and the sacraments, we bless you, for all gifts come from you. As we pray for others, Lord, we lift every branch of your church throughout the world. Grant that they may find a closer unity in Christ of both doctrine and witness, and save our church from being static and complacent when the world has so much need. We ask that you help each congregation to recognise your will and to make loving others its highest priority. Lord, we lift to you all those who know nothing of the love of Jesus Christ or his Spirit's power, all who can see no purpose in their lives. We pray that the church would never be a stumbling block to them, but by patience and compassion show them the extent of your great love. Lord, with shootings in America and trucks running through crowds in France and a coup attempt in Turkey, Lord, and unrest in many other parts of the world, we pray for a new spirit of friendship and cooperation between the nations. We pray for the starving and the homeless and persecuted peoples and all who suffer through the greed and ambition of others. May the rich and powerful nations of the world be shown best how to share their wealth and power. May your love and peace reach all those who are going through times of suffering within our own community, the sick, the troubled, the bereaved. We pray for the unpopular, the unconventional, for those who find human relationships difficult, and for those who bravely carry secret burdens, knowing only to themselves and you. May each be helped according to the needs and led to find the peace, your peace, the peace which passes all understanding. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. The reading is taken from NIRV version. Worthy is the Lamb indeed. Lord, open our ears to hear these your words. Acts 20, verses 22 to 24. Now I am going to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit compels me. I don't know what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Spirit warns me. He tells me that I will face prison and suffering, but my life means nothing to me. My only goal is to finish the race. I want to complete the work the Lord Jesus has given me. He wants me to tell others about the good news of God's grace. Now to Hebrews 12. A huge cloud of witnesses is all around us. So let us throw off everything that stands in our way. Let us throw off any sin that holds on to us so tightly. And let us keep on running the race marked out for us. Let us keep looking to Jesus. He is the one who started this journey of faith. And he is the one who completes the journey of faith. He paid no attention to the shame of the cross. He suffered there because of the joy he was looking forward to. Then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He made it through these attacks by sinners. So think about him. Then you won't get tired. You won't lose hope. Praise him.
That we've had God's amazing grace for our amazing race. At the music team meeting earlier in the week, Grant asked, what's the theme? So that he could choose, select songs that would go along with the theme. And when I said, it's the amazing race, he quickly replied, then we should sing Amazing Grace. And it took me a moment to catch on, but this clever play with words gets to the heart of the gospel. God has given us amazing grace so that we can run this amazing race that's before us. God's amazing grace to run the amazing race. God's humanity, God's grace to all of humanity is just wonderful. Irrespective of if you're a Christian or not, God just pours out his grace upon us. And I'm sure that you've thought about this from time to time. We're surrounded by the beauty of creation, which everyone can enjoy. The colours and textures and tastes and fragrances that fill our lives with wonder so that we can take pleasure in this life. And many of you will have had a day down by the beach in the warmth of the summer or at a lake or by a river and going for a swim, enjoying the warmth and then the coolness of the water or the feeling of the sand under your feet. All of these things can give us such pleasure. It's God's grace towards us. And we can have a marvelous creativity in life, and so that we can celebrate things with song, with dance, with music. And God has endowed us with great imagination so that we can picture things that don't exist. And people make up these little worlds and put characters in them and write it all down. And then we go to the library and we get out their books. And when we're reading these books, we're almost taken into this imaginative world. And people can use this with stories and with poems. They delight old and young. And some of you will know what it is to sit by the bedside of a child and to read a bedtime story, a story that just delights the heart of the child. And you know what that's like. Maybe when you were younger, you had bedtime stories read for you. And then these stories can be taken and put on the big screen with all sorts of different special effects, and we can be taken into these different worlds that people create through the movies. Just wonderful imagination. And then we have advances in technology. And people can sit down and creatively come up with wonderful ideas that no one had quite thought of it that way before, and be able to put something together, invent something, put it together and it works, or maybe through research to find a medicine and it works, or some other form of creativity, and all of a sudden the world can enjoy this new thing. And I think most of all, in terms of the grace that God gives us in a general sense, is that we can have relationships with people. We're social beings. We meet with family and with friends, and sometimes, you'll call someone up and say, let's meet for a coffee. And you'll want to go out and just spend some time with people who are close to you, people who you love. And this is so wonderful. And then, of course, there's a range of emotions, including happiness and delight, the thrills of extreme sports. I don't want any of those. But some of you, you know, like doing bungee jumps or whitewater rafting or those sorts of things, speed, skiing, all sorts of things, or a sense of accomplishment, even with simple things, to have made something, to have achieved that, and to feel the goodness of that, the extending our knowledge, completing a task. Of course, we know that even in the midst of this grace, life isn't always easy. So we face obstacles, struggles with circumstances, we experience disappointments, we might go through the loss of a job, a failure in business, deeply personal, the loss of a loved one, someone so dear to our hearts, and that really, we find that so moving, so upsetting, the loss of a loved one. We may face physical, emotional, or mental, or relational changes, and these can cause us very real hardships. They don't define who we are, and many people faced with these big challenges in life will find ways around them and through them. The Paralympics coming up soon will remind us of the resilience of people and our determination to make the most out of this amazing life that we have. And taken all together, our ride through space orbiting the sun on this planet that's lush with life is full of God's amazing grace, provision and gifts for everyone. Now, in the context of which we're thinking today, we've got this metaphor, this word picture that's used in the Bible where our spiritual journey is likened to a race. Our spiritual life is likened to a race. We know great sporting events like the Olympics, they're well known to us. They were well known in the ancient world at the time that Paul in the New Testament was writing and the New Testament was being written. We know that every 4 years, the Greeks had the Olympics, but perhaps not so well known is that every 2 years before the Olympics and following the Olympics, they had the Athenian Games in Corinth. This was one of the greatest sporting events in the ancient world. And so the Apostle Paul spent 2 years there in Corinth, and it's likely that at least in one of those years, he saw these games with all the athletes coming and the great trials of strength and endurance that they gathered for. And so when he uses images of running or boxing, the people that he wrote to would understand this because this is what they saw in Corinth every 2 years. And because these games were so well established and known in the ancient world, even people outside of the area would know of this image of using sports as a picture, this race of life. And God gives us amazing grace to run this amazing race. When we look at the passage from Hebrews, we find that it's Jesus who started this, journey of faith. Some versions say that Jesus is the pioneer, the one who made the way first, the perfecter of the faith, the one who has brought it into its fullness and wholeness and made it right. And so this amazing race that we have started on as we follow Jesus is one that he has begun for us. It's based on who he is and what he has done, and what he has taught us about God. So I've spoken in general terms about this amazing race. All humans are on it. Everyone can enjoy the ride through space on this planet, bountiful provisions. But I'm wanting to really focus in more now on this spiritual journey, this spiritual race. And this spiritual race includes a whole lot of amazing wonders that come to those who put their faith in Jesus. Peace with God. Forgiveness through Christ, belonging to the family of God, finding new purpose in life, spiritual growth, transformation in character, and eternal life with God. And all these things become ours as we are involved in this race. So in Hebrews we're told, there's a huge cloud of witnesses all around us. And this gives the idea of a sporting meeting where you've got an arena. And people are sitting in the stands and they're watching what's going on in the field. We understand this sort of picture. And in a sense, when we as Christians are on the field and in the midst of this race, there are others, heaven, people of faith who have gone before us watching what's going on. I got up early last week to watch the men's final at Wimbledon. And sitting in the crowd, every now and then the camera would pan around and there were past champions sitting there and watching these games. And in a similar way, the writer in Hebrews wants us to understand that past champions of the faith are watching us. There's a cloud of them surrounding us. So if you go back from chapter 12 into chapter 11 of Hebrews, you'll find all these heroes of the faith being mentioned, including Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and others, even getting to a point where it's speaking about unnamed, unknown people who still held firmly to the faith. And so we're given to understand that as we run the race, they're watching to see how we're doing as God's plan unfolds in our lives. And in response to this, we're invited to throw off all the things that would keep us from being able to run well. In the 1970s, I bought a racing style bike. And it had those sort of handles that bent around, so you get down and really get into it. And it amazingly had 12 speeds. And it was a wonderful bike for getting in and out of work. Now, imagine you took that bike over to Rio and gave it to our Olympic team and said, "This is what you're competing on this year." They would look at that and they would laugh. And they would say it's too clunky, it's too heavy, the gears aren't any good, and they would throw it away. It's just no use to them. I thought it was flashy. But it would be no use to them. In fact, they could probably run faster around the velodrome than I could go on that push bike. The bikes that are ridden at an Olympic level are very refined, made of special materials, very light, special wheels, gears, handles, aerodynamically designed. They've been stripped back so that any unnecessary weight, any hindrance in the bike is taken away, and they're streamlined, designed for the top riders. And this stripping things away is something that all athletes do. You don't see someone lining up for the 100 metres wearing gumboots. They've got the special light shoes on. And swimmers, they're wearing specially designed swimsuits. And in a similar way, as athletes put aside the things that would hinder them, in our Christian race, we need to put aside the things that would hinder us. And I wonder if you have something this morning that is hindering you in this race with Christ. Something you've picked up along the way that really you should just let go of and throw away. Perhaps it's a sin that clings to us, words that we've used, something we've said that's damaged a relationship, attitudes of anger or greed, self-centeredness that pull us off track, maybe a character flaw that hinders how we see things. Maybe we're so busy looking after ourselves and climbing the ladder of success that we're beginning to neglect our family or focused on our own needs and we forget to show kindness to others. Or maybe what we say and do are making our workplace a toxic environment. Whatever, we need to get rid of those things so that they will no longer hold us back or hinder us. And the writer in Hebrews goes on to say, let us keep running the race that's marked out for us. I'm really pleased that this race is marked out for us. Otherwise, I would get lost. But the markings on this race, Christ has run it before us. He's given us a model. He's shown us the way. And so have Christians who have gone before us. So this track is marked out with faithfulness and goodness and love. If you find yourself on a track with envy and greed and hatred, you've left the track that Christ wants us to be on. And you need to come back onto that track that Christ has forged for us. The Christian race, we know, takes time. And so in Hebrews, we read a little bit of the hardships that Jesus faced. But they're there not to put us off, but to remind us It's not an easy course, but Jesus has completed it, perfected it, and has been successful in it. And people before us have followed in his footsteps. And because of that, we're then told, so think about Jesus. Think about him. And then you won't grow tired. Then you won't lose hope. Perhaps there are some today who feel that their hope has been fading away. And they have been becoming tired in this race. Well, think about Jesus. Think about Jesus. When you turn your heart, your mind onto him, something happens. Something wonderful happens to lift our spirits as we invite his spirit to be with us. And as we look at this, we find Jesus provides us with God's amazing grace. When we look at him, we can be reminded of his love for us, all he gave for us, the wonderful model of life that he lived for us. And then, with the Apostle Paul, towards the end of his life, he realized that he needed to turn around, go to Jerusalem, face some things that were unknown to him, but he knew that danger lay in that way, and he thought he would be going to face his death. So he gave a final farewell to friends that he was leaving behind, and he said, "My only goal is to finish the race." I know so many of you can say that. My only goal is to finish this race. I want to complete the work the Lord Jesus has given me. And as Paul said, he wants me to tell others the good news of God's grace. So Paul desired to keep the faith, to keep right, going to the end of his life. Despite the difficulties he faced, he wanted to complete the task that Jesus had put before him. It encourages my heart so much to see you as you come, Sunday by Sunday, coming again to be with God's people, coming again to unite in faith and to give worship to God and to encourage others in this walk that we have together, to be faithful and to reach the end. Now, there was a really strange event happened in the Tour de France this week. The race leader, Chris Froome, was in an accident with a motorcycle. And his bike broke. And there was nothing could be done for his bike. And in all this crowd, it's just crazy, the crowds that are around these races, his team couldn't get to him and give him another bike. What did he do? He started running. He started running uphill towards the finish line because he wasn't going to give up. Without a bike, he would be disqualified. You have to have a bike. But that didn't put him off. He just kept on running. Someone else gave him a bike. It wasn't much good. And he started riding on it. And his team finally caught up with him, gave him another bike, and he completed the race. He was leading the race. You know, this is the worst thing that could happen in a race. When you're the leader, when you think, this is my year, I can go on to win this, and all of a sudden something terrible happens. But he kept going. He kept going and going and going. And this is what God is calling us to. To keep going with the same determination the Apostle Paul had to finish the race. And God provides us with wonderful gifts of grace so that we can complete this race. I've mentioned the general gifts through creation and general gifts that are given to Christians. The forgiveness, the peace with God. But he also gives us his Holy Spirit, who gives us gifts for each moment. Gives us spiritual gifts to share with each other, who changes us so that we can become more Christ-like. And the more we become Christ-like, the more endurance we will have, the more determined we will be as we use these spiritual gifts in our spiritual journey. And God gives us wonderful grace through his word, the Bible, and through prayer. And as we develop our relationship with him and enjoy communion and the things that we share together, we find God's amazing grace helping us with this race. God's grace, so amazing when you consider what it cost him to set us free. Amazing in the wealth of gifts he gives to help us. Amazing in the breadth that it includes people like me and people like you. Amazing in its power to sustain us through our earthly life. Now maybe you haven't joined this amazing race yet. Perhaps today is the day you put your foot on that path. You turn to Jesus, you fix your eyes on him, and you start following him. And I encourage you, if you've never done this before, make today the day that you decide to follow Jesus, to join his family as we serve him. I warn you, it's not easy. I warn you, there's a cost. You have to lay things aside to follow him. But I encourage you, do this if you haven't done it before. Or perhaps you've been following Jesus for a while, and for whatever reason, you've then began trying to run this race in your own strength rather than using his grace. Look again to Jesus. Look again to his grace. You can't do well in this amazing race without the grace that Jesus gives you. It would be like trying to compete in that bike race without a bike, without team support. A lot of effort, little progress. So I encourage you, look again to Jesus. I encourage you all, use the amazing grace that God supplies so that you may say, as the Apostle Paul said towards the end of his life, I've done it. I've got there. Achieved it. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Let's run this race to his glory. Amen. Let's just take a moment to pray as the music team comes to lead us. Our Lord, we want to thank you for your wonderful grace, your amazing grace. We thank you that it is a grace that reaches into our hearts and lives, grace that changes us and turns us around. Lord, we want to thank you that it's a grace that's good for every moment of our lives and even the toughest moments, even when we think there is nothing else there for us, that your grace is enough and your grace is wonderful and your grace will see us through. And Lord, I want to thank you for all these people here today, those who are faithfully walking with you, for the journey that they have been on. Some of them, Lord, have been on this journey for such a long, long time and their faith shines. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you for others who are starting this journey, who see your grace shine before them, who call towards you. And I pray, Lord, as they start on this path, that you would touch and change, that you would enable them, Lord, in every step of this path to follow you. Lord, pour out again your amazing grace for this amazing race. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, John, for a fantastic, amazing message.